The law brings the universe into manifestation. That's certainly an interesting concept. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, University of Philosophy, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. The law brings the universe into manifestation. Now, we have constantly said that the law is the relative symbol that brings forth the illusions into a manifest form. And when we see that, say, the law brings the universe into manifestation, we are giving ourselves a bit of a misnomer here. As far as absolute goes, the law does not exist. All things already exist. All things do not become into manifestation. They are revealed as already manifest and already existing without our being aware that they are there. So for us to say the law brings the universe into manifestation is sort of a misnomer on the absolute level. It is a very relative truism. And we know that the law of cause and effect, that when we say what we think about is manifest, what we think our thoughts about is brought forth, is revealed to us. But when we think on the higher level, which is the absolute philosopher's way of thinking, we think that all things already exist, and we are giving ourselves the opportunity to bring them forth into our expression, into our awareness, into our realization. Now, have you ever looked into the infinite and seen all things already?
Oh, I wish I could.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Have you ever looked into the allness and seen everything already in existence? That would be great. Have you ever looked into yourself and seen yourself as you really are? Hey. I like to teach people, and the word teach is a misnomer here, I like to teach people to be aware of who they are. Well, I am aware of who I am. I am whatever appearance I may be on the outside here. And then I say, no, you're not. You are the appearance you are on the inside that you cannot see yet, because you are not looking at the right mirror. You are looking at the mirror of illusion, the mirror of illusion which says certain things are so because they are physical, because they have substance to them. And what is the reality of substance? Substance can decay. Substance can dissipate and become nothing, the dust from dust to dust, so to speak. It becomes nothing. So why are we giving substance such a big rush and saying substance is so important, substance is such a wonderful thing, when substance isn't really anything at all? It isn't anything at all. Substance is something quite beautiful. It is the expression of what we believe about ourselves. And you say, that's beautiful? What I'd like to see is what my ideal is, my original purity and integrity. What is that? What does my body look like on my ideal level of consciousness? What does my world look like on my ideal level of consciousness? What do I look like? What does my soul look like if I can see my soul? What does my spirit look like if my spirit has a look to it? Well, your spirit has a look. Your soul has a look. Your body has an ideal. Ideal what? Return to our ideal purity and integrity. Your body has an ideal purity and integrity to it. But what else must we add to this phrase to make it meaningful for us? We must add the word concept. Our body is a concept. Our mind is a concept. Our spirit is a concept. All these things are concepts. And as concepts, they can neither be created nor destroyed, you might say, nor can they be changed from their original concept, from their original appearance, their original creative purity and integrity. So if you would like to see your original purity and integrity, When you go to sleep at night, say to yourself, I now enjoy my original purity and integrity. I now enjoy my original purity and integrity. I now enjoy my original purity and integrity. I now see. I am conscious of it. I am cognizant of my original purity and integrity. I now see the concept of my original purity and integrity. I now see the concept of my original purity and integrity. Herb, you're repeating these things. That's right. These are affirmations. I now see the concept of my original purity and integrity. Now, can your human conscious mind realize what it's seeing when it sees your original purity and integrity as a concept? And the answer is yes. Would your conscious mind have the audacity, and you know what audacity means? The guts to say that it's true. Would your mind, your human mind, your conscious mind, would it have the ability to see and interpret and be aware of your original purity and integrity as a concept? And the answer is yes. However, you won't do it. And the reason that you won't do it is because you do not want to give up the old icons. The old icons are the illusions, and you call it the concepts, the illusions of your body, your mind, your spirit, as you see it now. You want to reincarnate all the time. You want to come back in a new form, in a new life, and you want to do all these silly things. And that's great. Hey, cool, you can do that. You can create yourself in any illusion you want. And it's real. It is real. It is something you can touch, you can feel, you can sense, you can do anything you want with. It can eat and sleep and drink and whatever it does, you know. It can do all these things. Or you can tune in to your original purity and integrity, tune in to your archetypal beingness, tune into it and know it. Again, you probably will never do that, because to do that, again, means you have to give up the old icons. You have to say that arms and legs and neck and head and body and guts and all that stuff, face and mouth and ears and eyes, and these are things you're familiar with. Now, does that mean your archetypal body doesn't have that? Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. But it has it so significantly, so beautifully, so purely, that it would seem unreal. It would seem unreal. I showed a picture to Ellen the other day, and it was a picture of a monk from Japan, wasn't it, or China or something like that. And the monk was a very pleasant-looking fellow, and he was wearing a crown, interesting for a monk. But if you were observant, you realized that where the sky was, he appeared solid, and where the earth was, you could look right through him, and you could see the road, you could see, but you could still see his outline, but you could see it. Now, you see, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to the archetypal concept of what our body really is and our mind and soul really is. But you see, because the ground was not behind his upper torso and his head, they appeared to be quite real. However, if they were with the mountain behind them or ground behind them, they too would be an illusion. Now, as an illusion, what does that mean? Does that mean that they have no essence to them, no eternality to them, no spirituality to them? Oh, no. It merely means that the real illusion is the illusion from our archetypal self, and it is not subject to anything else. Might sound silly, but our real illusion is not controlled, possessed, limited by any other substance. If, in fact, we were the real illusion, we would be walking right through substance. Mm-hmm. Now, in the days of Atlantis, and we've talked about this before, in the days of Atlantis, people lived in houses that could not be seen. Mm-hmm. And they could walk right through the walls of these houses, and they were inside or they were outside. And when they were inside, all you did, I mean, when you were outside and you looked at the house, you saw anything that was beyond it, anything that was around it. When you were in it, you saw the house. You walked into the wall of that house, if you will, and you merged with it, you became one as it, and you were never separated from it, but you did not have to merge with anything because you were not substance. And it is not substance. It is the archetypal concept of house. You are the archetypal concept of man. The background, the flowers, trees, forests, and what have you, they too were the archetypal concept. Now, in your archetypal concept, Ellen, are you going to create rattlesnakes and mosquitoes that are going to bite you?
No.
Are you going to create anything that is inharmonious with your ideal world? Then why do you create it here in this world, things that might be inharmonious to you? Why do you create insects or what have you that might be disturbing to you? Not that they really should be, but they might be. Now, why do you do that? You do that because you are a creator. And you create at the finite limit of your creation. And so you create those things. Now, can you create a world in which is completely free of those things? Or is that the right way to word it?
Reveal.
No. You create a world that has in it what you want in it. Not that indiscriminately has things in it that you must create yourself free from them. You understand?
Right.
You create in your world what you choose to have in it. Now, do you choose to have a puppy dog to play with in your world?
Yes.
Do you choose to have your mother around enjoying her world in her young body, thoroughly healthy and fantastic, and just being herself? Do you choose her? Now, it may be no. It may be no, because, you see, we really never had a joy with our parents. Not that our parents were bad. We tolerated our parents because they were foreign experience for us. We chose to come through that avenue to come into life here. Now, if our parents really loved us, and if we really had a rapport with our parents, they would not die. They would not die. If we really had a rapport with our brothers and sisters, whom we say we dearly loved, they would not die. If we really had a rapport with our pets that we so dearly love from time to time, they would not die. Miss Muffet would still be here, as wonderful a dog as she was, remember? Nobody found fault with her in the slightest. She was just a perfect, wonderful dog. Now, why did she die? She died for one reason. We stopped seeing her here. We heard that she had been run over, and so immediately we crossed her off of our list of beings who were presently active in our life. Now, if we had not crossed her off, she would still be here. If we had not crossed off others who were very significant to us, they would still be here. And not offensive, or what would you say, a pain in the neck to us, you know, but they would be here in their pure, embodied, loving self. Now, the law of the universe brings to the human form things into manifestation because they are manifesting or revealing that which already exists. When you're dealing in absolute, and this is what we are working on great and diligently with our third-hour lecture every day. We're dealing with the idea that this is where it is all at. This is our archetypal self. This is our archetypal expression of the divinity that we are. This is the magnificence of who we are. Are you ready to experience this archetypal self? Are you ready to experience the original purity and integrity of who your body is, your mind is, your spirit is, your soul is, if they're all separate or one? Are you ready to experience that? And if you're ready to experience that, you don't dare have any foolishness in your life. Foolishness of saying, somebody else did something that caused me unhappiness, you know? Somebody else did something that didn't make me happy. And you see, the minute you do that, you have washed yourself off of absolute consciousness. Because you have said that the relative world manipulates you, controls you, directs you, and you are not a free spirit. But the minute you say, I am master of my world, I am responsible for every cause I put in motion, I am responsible for every effect, and I am responsible for all of the good things that life brings forth for me. I am responsible for that. And by responsible, I have revealed it. I have recognized it's there. Because I have looked from my absolute divine self, and I have seen it, and I know that it's true. Mm-hmm. Yes, the world that we know has experienced this, and does experience this on many levels of consciousness. And you perhaps are experiencing it on another level of consciousness right now. Because just as you can have stocks and bonds in maybe 100 different companies, so you can have life experiences on 100 different levels. I say to you, what's your stock in IBM doing? What's your stock in Xerox doing? What's your stock in whatever is doing? And you see, instantly your mind click, 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 click to each stock. And you don't really know beans about it. You know? You don't really have any idea of the magic that these companies are doing. But you know they're earning money for you, and you know that that's a comfortable situation to be in. But you see, when you go beyond that, when you go beyond all these thoughts to the point where all is now, then you'll never say, I'm independently wealthy, because there will be nothing to be independently wealthy about. Because every thought you think will reveal that which already exists for you right now. And whatever you choose to do, it is done. Because you're the master. And that's what we teach. Enjoy. The night is young. And you're so beautiful. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you too.